Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Power for the Powerless. Based on the epistle reading, which we just read to you, especially finding our theme in verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians 1, St. Paul wrote, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction." Again, our theme is power for the powerless, and I encourage you to follow the sermon outline on the handout presented to you when you came in this morning. So, have you ever felt completely powerless? Like a radio unplugged from a power source, you felt completely powerless. You know, although it happened 33 years ago, I clearly remember an incident that made me feel utterly and completely powerless. It happened when I was a seminary student on my vicarage year, like vicar, now Pastor Chung, was our vicar all this last year. I was on my vicarage year. The supervising pastor was away, and I had the Sunday service by myself. And just shortly before the service was to begin, I was in the pastor's study getting robed, and the phone rang, and I answered it. "Hello, Mrs. Vicar Harold, may I help you?" Feeling as official as I could. And the voice on the phone said, "There's a bomb in the church. I put a bomb in the church." My first thought was, yeah, right. This is my roommate from seminary. He knows I'm doing the service solo, and he's out to play a terrible joke, but the voice did not sound like his. So what am I going to do? As I rode, I came up to the chancel steps, turned and faced the congregation. I explained the situation. I led them in a prayer. I had them orderly exit the building, into the parking lot, into their cars, for their safety's sake. And then I called the St. Louis Police Department, for that's where I was. Shortly after that, two young, strapping, good-looking, tough officers came in their full-on uniforms and said very condescendingly, "It's okay, preacher. We'll take care of it. We're bomb experts. You want to show us around and point out anything that doesn't look usual?" And my first thought was no. But I showed them around, and we found on a ledge a black box that I didn't recognize. And so again, with great condescension, this young strapping officer said, "Oh, Padre, I'm a Vietnam vet. I dismantle bombs. You set aside. Let a man take care of this." I said, "Okay, it's all yours." He climbed upon a chair to get the box, but in his climbing, the chair lost its balance and it slipped and he fell and the box went flying and both of these police officers screamed, "Ah!" And I stood there, my heart pounding out of my chest, taking a deep breath, scared to death, and also hoping I wasn't going to laugh out loud at what had just happened, laughing at these guys. But the box was empty. And by the way, no bomb was ever found. And to this day, I don't know what that call was all about. But those two policemen and I felt powerless. Have you ever felt powerless? The Thessalonian Christians did, and this is one of the reasons St. Paul wrote them this epistle, this letter, which we call now the Book of the Thessalonians. It's today's sermon text. Listen again to the key verse. Paul writes, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction." Now, it wasn't that the Thessalonians, and you'll notice your sermon outline, it wasn't that the Thessalonians were completely without power. St. Paul rejoiced in their recent growth in faith and in love. We read in verses 2 to 3, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." But we also know from the rest of the letter to the Thessalonians that these people were experiencing many trials. These trials included persecution by the enemies of Christ, the temptations of the devil, false teachings of competing religions around them, and the weakening of their own personal faith due to the hardships they were facing. In face of all of this, St. Paul had to remind them that God had not abandoned them, that they indeed were not powerless in their struggles. I ask you again, do you ever feel powerless? We all do sometimes. There are things in our lives that make us feel powerless. Things like challenges with health, challenges with finances, family heartaches, uncertainty with our future, struggles with our faith or with God or with our own sin. And certainly, you could add your own things to the list of things that make you sometimes feel powerless. Besides all these things, make no mistake about it, there's the devil himself, that liar who would devour us with the feeling of powerlessness. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we read this: "The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour." He would devour you with discouragement. He would devour you with the feeling that you're on your own and God has abandoned you. He would devour you with a feeling of powerlessness. So in response to all of this, what do? So often, we go on a search for power. But we come to a dead end. We fool ourselves by thinking, "I just got to try harder. I got to dig deeper. I got to roll up my shirt sleeves and depend on my own strength to get me through." Other people put their hope in self-help books, personal power products, the power of positive thinking, only to discover that these things always promise far more than they can deliver. And perhaps you are a person here today who has given in to the temptation that power can be found in the abuse of alcohol or drugs, or owning the newest and the best and most expensive toy, or in building up your bank account, your portfolio, your investments. Others seek power by hurting or bullying others. Hurting or bullying others around them, not realizing that such personal power plays are only a mask for their own feelings of powerlessness. The truth is, there is no real and lasting power from what this world has to offer. Are you ready for some good news? Here is a strange and wonderful teaching of Holy Scripture. In our weakness, in our powerlessness, we discover real strength and power. St. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, these things. A very simple sentence. Listen carefully. It's on your outline. St. Paul says, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Paul, what do you mean? What are you talking about? This seems strange. Weakness is a sign of strength. Powerlessness is a sign of power. But Paul says it's true because God's strength and God's power is different than what the world says is strength and power. Paul learned that it's really a matter of what you rely upon, or more correctly, on whom you rely. Paul learned that real strength and power comes from a trust in and a reliance upon our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, whom St. Paul calls the wisdom and the power of God. Just before St. Paul wrote those words, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong," he quoted some words of his own Lord Jesus. Jesus said these words to St. Paul. Please let them be Jesus' words to you this morning. Give an ear. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." What does that mean? We learn that God's strength is the strength we need. That God's power is the power we need. And when we lean upon Him, when we lean upon Him and not ourselves, we'll finally discover what real strength and power is about. Have you ever been jealous of somebody else's deep and abiding faith? When I make my visits to shut-ins and hospitals and care homes, etc., and as I'm spending time with the aged saints of God, I find myself saying, "Oh, to have that faith. Oh, to have that strength." As they're facing all the challenges and heartaches of this life and closer facing eternity with God Himself, the strength and faith they have. "I am Jesus' little lamb." How can someone have that kind of faith? Because they learned over the years of the school of hard knocks, "When I'm weak, but leaning on God's everlasting arms, those arms nailed for us on Calvary's cross, when I lean upon His arms, when I'm weak, then I'm really strong." Now there's an old hymn. I warned my Bible class this morning this would be coming. So if I curdle the milk you put in your coffee by my singing, I'm sorry ahead of time. But I warned some of you. There's a beautiful old gospel song written by a man whose two best friends in the same month's time had lost their wives to death. And these men were left alone to raise their young children. And this was in the late 1800s when things were different. And a man was close to helpless taking care of things in the household because mama did everything. In response to give these men support, this guy wrote this hymn. Listen to some of the lyrics. "What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms." But what's more? What's more is our Lord Jesus Christ, the possessor of those everlasting arms, loved us so much that He became powerless to give His power to those who are without. Think of that moment. Think of that moment when our Lord Jesus Christ became truly powerless. When He who was without sin was dying upon the cross for your sin and for mine, and nailed to that cross. Our Lord Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, Why have you forsaken me? God the Father had laid upon God the Son your sin and mine and the sin of the entire world. And when Jesus on that cross bore the filth and sin of this world, His Holy Father turned away. At that moment, Jesus was bearing the full weight of the fury of hell and God's almighty judgment against sin. And He felt utterly forsaken by God, and He cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" And the answer to Jesus' question, "Why?" is simply this. The Father forsook Jesus and turned His back on Him that He might never forsake you and turn His back on you. Jesus suffered Almighty God's full wrath and punishment for the sin of the world that you might never suffer it. That is why St. John gave us that most passionate of verses when he said, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. He gave Him for you, and He gave Him for me." Jesus on that cross seemed utterly powerless. But in today's text, St. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church that Christ crucified is the very power of God. He wrote, "For our gospel came to you in power." And in another letter to another church, speaking of the crucified cross, Christ on the cross, Paul points to the cross and says, "Behold, Christ, the wisdom of God, and Christ, the power of God." The Greek word Paul uses for power is dynamis, from which we get the English word dynamite. And in Romans 1:16, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God for salvation." Jesus dying upon the cross. Power? Yes, the power of God to defeat the forces of sin, the forces of death, the forces of the devil himself. Because Jesus gave His life for us on that cross, my friends, it may have been Friday, but Sunday was coming. Good Friday was turned into Easter Sunday. And with Easter Sunday came our Lord's powerful resurrection victory. And as if this is not enough, St. Paul says that the power of the resurrected Christ dwells in the heart of all who put their faith in Him. We don't lean on our own strength and power, but we lean on the everlasting arms of Him who died and rose for us and lives in us through faith. Paul writes these words, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, "And I can do all things through Him who gives me strength." I believe a final story will illustrate this truth. Lean upon God's strength and not our own. At the 1992 Olympic Games, a young man by the name of Derek Redmond represented all of Great Britain as their 400-meter running champion. In the semifinal race, while making the final turn to the finish line, he tore the hamstring muscle, which is the large muscle from your buttocks to the back of your knee. A terrible, painful injury, and he crashed to the track in pain. I now quote to you from the Sports Illustrated article from the reporter who was covering the Olympics. He said, "As the medical attendants were approaching, Redmond fought to get back to his feet. It was animal instinct," he would say later. "He set out hopping in a crazed and painful attempt to finish the race. When he reached the final straightaway, a large man, a heavy-set man in a T-shirt, came out of the stands, hurled aside a security guard, and ran to Redmond, hugging him. It was Jim Redmond, Derek's father. "You don't have to do this," he told his weeping son. "Yes, I do," said Derek. "Well then," said his father, "we're going to finish this race together." And they did. Fighting off security men, the son's head buried in his father's shoulder for pain, they stayed in Derek's running lane all the way to the end, to the finish line, as the crowd gaped, rose to their feet, howled and wept. My friends, when you feel powerless, when you feel without hope or that God has forsaken you, don't believe that lie. Our dear Father has not left us to run the race alone, but in the person and the work and the ministry of His Son, Jesus Christ, He has come to run with us in this race of life, to run beside us, and we can lean on Him and His everlasting arms. With St. Paul, we can declare, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Because God gives power to the powerless. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offering.